Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Christmas evening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined by the illustrious psychic comedian Sherry. How are you doing?
Hey, you're pretty good, Jason. It's been a while since I've been on.
It's been a while since I've been on as well.
Well, I have not heard, between both of us, you probably are busy too. But I have not heard what Maria has her guest and what she talked about and that kind of thing. But I have to go and just kind of hop in and see what's going on. It was a two-part show from what I heard when I talked to her the other night.
Yeah, I have not listened to it yet. I plan to. I hope everything with those shows went well. How have you been? I haven't talked to you in a little while either.
Well, I was sick. My grandson had the norovirus. And as a matter of fact, their school had shut down. There's two schools. I'm not sure if it was an elementary school, but I believe it was a high school or middle school that was also shut down in the area in Oregon. And my daughter and her husband and my grandson caught the norovirus. And that was at Thanksgiving. And then I saw them just a little bit. I saw them on Thanksgiving. Well, I came down with something, too. So, you know, I was down with it for probably really hard. Yeah, probably about a few days. But, boy, it lingered of the coughing and the congestion and everything. So, yeah, I took 5 days off of the bikini bodybuilding and to recover, and I finally got back, so yeah, I'm feeling good, and, you know, knock on wood that I don't get sick. That was the last, you know, flu I get, or cold, so yeah. How about you, Jason? Are you into the vaccines and things like that?
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of the flu vaccine. However, I was, if you listen to the show, you know, I work in a hospital, and we do have to get the vaccine or wear a mask, and so I've just been wearing a mask. But I have to tell you, I was kind of second guessing myself about this flu vaccination, because the other day there was just a rash of positive influenzas, and you know, I'm the one that deals with the flu specimens. So when if stuff's going to my hospital and you're getting a swab and it's during the week, I'm the one that's running the flu tests. And so I'm trying to be extra careful not to expose myself. I've got a lot of problems, but one of the things I've been blessed with is a good immune system. So I'm hoping that stays tip top. Other than that, not a whole lot going on. There's one thing I wanted to mention, which was interesting, an interesting experience I had yesterday. And you know, Sherry, that I'm kind of, well, I'm hopelessly addicted to slot machines. You know this, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't know you were addicted. I know you like to play them, but I didn't know you were addicted to them.
Well, I guess addiction's all relative. You know, it's not super crazy, but, you know, any extra cent I have, I like to play the slot machines. And one thing that I was kind of thinking about was, I've heard in the past that, well, these slot machines are run by random number generators. And there's a little bit of science behind people claim that you can actually alter the numbers on the random number generator. And it got me thinking, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, is how come there are times when I go out to play these machines and I win ridiculously, like ridiculously, and other times I can't win at all? Is it chance? I mean, that's what most logical people would say. Well, it's just chance. But sometimes it seems that the luck goes beyond chance. And yesterday was one of those days that my luck was ridiculous. And it gets me thinking that maybe there is something more behind the law of attraction, where we are somehow manipulating our physical world to get what we want. And it's not like you want something and you suddenly get it, but there's like the stars have to align in a certain way with your intention. And this can be gambling, whatever it is. Say if you want a new car and you're like, I can't afford a new car, but then some weird circumstance happens where you suddenly have a new car. And that's happened to me a bunch of times too. But anyways, yesterday was absolutely ridiculous. It was, I go in with a few $100s and I get down to $40 and I hit $500, right? Well, I keep playing and then I hit a jackpot and then I hit another $500. I go on another machine. I win like another $400. I go on another machine. I win another $600. And meanwhile, no one else is winning. And I'm cleaning the place out of their cash. That has to be something beyond luck. And I would like to believe that we somehow, when the things align, the planets align in a certain way and the energies are right and we have the proper intention, that stuff like that happens. I just,
yeah.
There has to be something beyond luck.
Wonderful. Wow. I'd like to be able to do that too one of these days. Win that much.
Well, yeah, and there's this guy there, and he's like, just like blown away, like, you know, and he wants to know what my secret is, and I don't know. There probably is a secret that I don't even know on luck. But like I said, that can relate to things beyond just these habits, just attracting
right.
things,
yeah.
Attracting whatever.
Attracting, yeah. Yeah, just kind of being there at the right time in the right place, right?
And so I go out again this morning, and I can't win nothing, you know. And so
really?
Just, something aligns to where you're able to do stuff. So I just wanted to mention that and get people's thoughts out there of, you know, I believe that we have the ability to manifest whatever it is we want, you know, maybe not whatever it is, but what. These things come to you when our intention is right and it's right for you, and it could be whatever.
It could be, absolutely. I mean, as an example, you know, you win the lottery, not the lottery, but you'll win, you know, really good at the, you know, slot machines. You go through your periods of winning and sometimes you go through your losing too, but, I mean, it could be applied with, you know, a lot of things, but... You know, I've been very blessed with, you know, being a practitioner in Chinese medicine and having, you know, a good solid record of success. And when people come to you, you know, whether it's an acute or chronic, and you get to be able to, you know, whether it's temporarily or permanently help their bodies, you know, help enable their bodies to heal themselves, to me, that is really rewarding. It's very, very rewarding. And like you said, it could be, I don't know if it's luck, but I think it's, like you said, you're just talking about it as your intentions. You know, what is your intentions and how are you applying it to, you know, maybe helping people. Maybe that money you have is supposed to be helping people. You know, maybe this time, I don't know. Who knows?
I've noticed it with a bunch of things, not just that, but like a car or a job where a weird set of circumstance happens and you end up getting a better job or, you know, something you want. It's interesting, and I wish I could figure out and fine-tune it to where you don't have to wait till everything aligns, to where you can 24/7 manifest whatever you want, you know, and it just comes to you. And I believe it can be done.
Yeah, I do too. I absolutely believe that could be done also too. Wow, that's amazing. Well, good, Jason. I'm glad to hear you came out a winner.
Well, you know, over the long term, I've lost tons of money. But, it's something I enjoy. I enjoy. It's not about winning or losing. I don't care about losing. I just enjoy playing. And that's a sign of it.
Yeah, you're enjoying the process. It gives you something to, you know, it's like a hobby, right? You know?
Yeah.
It's like a hobby.
It's my hobby.
Yeah,
I have everything I need. I don't need anything. I have a nice car. I have all the fancy tech stuff. So why not?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's amazing. Hey, what's going on in your world? Jason and I are talking about this, and hopefully our listeners will listen to us. But, yeah, I'm going to be starting back up Portals to Enlightenment under Paranormal Horizons radio show. So, in January, I think we're going to have to do it in January. I'm going to go and get my own show, besides helping co-host with Jason, but get my own show, and we'll talk about the body, mind, and spirit arena. So I'm looking forward to that. And, anybody who wants to call in and you want to share your experiences or have any questions, you can call us on Paranormal Horizons Radio at 1-215-383-3999, and it's 1-215-383-3999. There you go.
Absolutely. Give us a call. The other thing.
Go ahead.
I know the audio on my end sounds terrible. And, you know, I had this full microphone set up. And I've been lazy. I've been trying to rectify the problem. You know, we've had issues connecting. And so I'm gonna work on that to try and get the audio good again. I basically got so frustrated with everything. I plugged it off, everything from my computer, the mics and all this, and threw it in the closet. And I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to resolve it, but I plan to. It's the next few weeks trying to, worst case scenario, I'll just buy a high-end headset. Because right now I'm just talking on just a cheap gaming headset, and so I know the quality has suffered. But now getting to the world of paranormal, since we're on Paranormal Horizons, I watched a documentary today on Skinwalker Ranch. Do you know anything about that place?
No, I would like to hear it. Oh, my goodness. No, you watched the documentary. Is it on Netflix or is it on cable or what?
I think it was on Hulu, and I'm trying to remember what it was called, but there's... For people that aren't aware, there's this place, it's a ranch, it's called Skinwalker Ranch, it's 512 acres, and it's a little bit southeast of Ballard, Utah, and there's been tons of activity going on at this place for at least 50 years. It's on the Ute Indian Reservation, hope I pronounced that correctly. And just the stuff that goes on out there is crazy. There's been a lot of interest out there over the years. They've done lots of scientific studies. But what makes Skinwalker Ranch really interesting is there's a lot of UFO sightings. But there's poltergeist activity. There's really, really strange stuff that goes out there. There's vanishing cattle, UFOs, orbs, large animals with red eyes. There's just crazy stuff. There's like tons of construction equipment. One morning will be somewhere, and then it'll like be at the opposite end of the field, or hand tools will disappear, and then they'll find them, you know, 60 feet up in a tree. Just about anything crazy you can imagine happens. Allegedly.
That's really weird. Never heard it. I thought, and I was making the assumption Skinwalker Ranch. I thought that is an area where there's skinwalkers that are seen in that area. That's what I thought.
Well, there's, well, that's where it comes from. It's on an Indian reservation, and that whole area, that whole valley actually has a lot of activity. And the Native Americans there, the Ute tribe, are aware of it, and it's kind of a sacred thing. Well, apparently the ranch, which is in a little valley, there's kind of this rocky plateau that overlooks it. The Native Americans say that that's the Skinwalker Trail, where the skinwalkers go. And they do not recommend people going to that area. People have lived there and moved out from all the crazy stuff. One of the things, in one family moved there, and they had the calves locked up, and they see a wolf at the opposite end of a field, and it's huge. I mean, like a huge, huge wolf, not like many times, maybe not many, but several times the normal size of a wolf. It walks up to these guys like it's domesticated, and the guy pets it on the head. Well, then the wolf goes over, grabs the snout of one of these calves and tries to drag it out of this pen. So one of them runs back into the house and gets a .357 Magnum, and they keep plugging this wolf with handgun rounds, and it doesn't even seem to be phased at all. So one of them goes and gets a .30-06, and at this point, the wolf starts to just trot off. It doesn't seem to be injured at all, and they keep putting round after round in it, and even to the point they saw a big piece of flesh get knocked off of it, and it kind of goes down to the river, so they start tracking this thing in the mud. It's leaving big footprints, and then the footprints just stop, and there's no sign. It just disappears.
And oh, that's just weird. Wow.
Yeah. And they went back, and they found the skin that they blew off of it and all that, and just crazy, crazy stuff, cattle mutilations, just stuff disappearing in the house, weird, weird stuff. And there was another thing that happened out there. Several times the farmer wakes up, looks out in his pasture, and there's these huge holes in the ground where, like, somebody had taken a backhoe and dug out a bunch of dirt, and they're just kind of pop marked everywhere. You know, just no explanation, just totally random stuff. And apparently the government's been very interested in this place too, and gone out there and checked it out. So it's pretty interesting. So it became so popular that a billionaire named Robert Bigelow purchased the ranch for $200,000. And his thing, he was really big into UFOs. And so pretty interesting stuff. He then, this Bigelow guy, he sold Skinwalker Ranch for $4.5 million. Wow, that's a great investment. You buy something for $200,000 and you sell it for $4.5 million. Well, it's famous now. So, yeah, Skinwalker Ranch.
Wow. Huh. Are you planning on going there and visiting there one of these days?
It's private property. You can't get on.
Oh, okay.
But it would be very interesting. But like I said, it's not just the activity there. There's a lot of activity in that whole area. Apparently, there's been in the past, I think in the 70s or 80s, there was so much UFO activity out there that it was kind of a regular thing. Nobody even batted an eye at it because they were seeing, you know, discs all the time. And one person, one of the neighbors of the Skinwalker Ranch, was in a truck at night with a friend, and they're driving, and they hear one of their cattle screaming and screaming and screaming. So they're trying to find the cattle, so they're shooting a spotlight across the pasture, you know, to where they could see the eyes of the calves, and they don't see anything. And suddenly this jagged green beam of light shoots from the sky and illuminates the truck, and the passenger looks outside, so his head's exposed, and he suffered really bad burns on his face, and then he died of cancer.
Oh my, wow.
Really, really wild stuff.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's safe to go out there. And this lady's son was diagnosed with cancer. So I don't know if the UFOs out there are shooting cancer beans at people or what's going on, or maybe it's the government. But very interesting. I would feel uncomfortable being out there, to be honest with you. I don't know. There's, like, weird creatures, like, you know, Bigfoot sightings and glowy eyes, and I'd never get a lick of sleep. They eventually...
I would be in the same boat as you. Absolutely. I'd be scared, too. You know, there's a reason why, you know, there's legends or, you know, could be true, it could be untrue. I don't know, but, you know, why take the chance? You know, if you're going to challenge it, it may prove, you know, it might be, you know, one of those where it's going to say, yeah, if you don't believe me, I'm going to prove it to you.
Well, and people have heard voices above their heads saying, get out, you don't belong here kind of thing, you know, ghostly voices. And another one of the really interesting things that I thought, so because of all the activity, they planted surveillance cameras all over the place, you know, to capture some of the stuff. And they did capture stuff, but it seemed like the activity was always kind of trying to stay out of camera. But one of the most fascinating videos that I saw was, it's a camera that overlooks the pasture, and you see two tall towers appear out of nowhere, and then they fade out and disappear. Think of the World Trade Center tower suddenly manifesting in a field, and they captured it on video.
Wow.
And things, it's almost like stuff is phasing in and out of reality. Things are dematerializing and materializing other places. Crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like to me there's a lot of paranormal activity, and could be a portal of different sorts, too.
Well, if you want to go out there, if anybody wants to go out there in that valley, apparently what riles up the activity is digging in the ground. So just go out there and dig. And don't go on the ranch because you'll get arrested. But I imagine there's got to be some public space out there. But the ground does not like to be disturbed.
Jeez. So how's the business in the hospital? Speaking of, are they really pushing on flu shots and vaccines? And, I mean, you turn around, there's a vaccine for everything, whether it's, you know, shingles or one of our guests, Brian Sesbo, he hasn't been on for a few years. He's a photographer, and he wrote the book about Bigfoot. And he was talking about in his Facebook post that he got a shingle shot. Well, for shingles, he's got having some problems, you know, after the after effects.
Yeah, you know, the doctor, well, it wasn't really a doctor. It was looking at my chart online, and it said, hey, come get your pneumonia shot or whatever, and it's like something that causes pneumonia, and they recommend it at the age of 60, and I'm not even close to that, so there definitely is a big push for getting immunizations, but I've had to get a lot. I've had chickenpox immunization, hepatitis B, you know, all the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. And I think they have a place, and I do think they're effective. But, I mean, you're always putting a risk. You don't know what that is going to do to your body. And in rare cases, it kills people. So
yeah,
either
I...
What's that?
I like the way you said rare cases. You hit the point.
It is extremely rare, but it does happen. And with any medical procedure, you have to balance the risk of the procedure. If you get anything done, there's generally a 1-2% complication rate. If you have surgery, this and that. And with shots, there's always going to be that 0.001% where you get a shot and it's going to kill you, or it's going to permanently disable you, or stuff like that. But those are the stories we hear about, but what you don't also hear about is the 75 million other people that got the shot that year, and it didn't do anything negative to them.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But,
oh, boy. Well, you know, it's like, well, you don't have any, your roommate has a cat, I believe, right?
Yeah, we have five cats.
You have five cats. Well, like with the animals, you know, I was reading about a holistic veterinarian. He deals with cats and dogs. And he was just saying randomly, he himself believes that a dog or a cat only needs rabies once in their lifetime. He feels that having rabies every 3 years is overkill.
Yeah, not super versed on immunizations. I can tell you that rabies, once you're symptomatic of rabies, you're essentially dead. That being said, there have been a handful of people that have undergone a new treatment for rabies that have survived. But generally, if you're symptomatic, you're dead. It's pretty rare. I mean, I've never seen a case in the hospital, but, you know, people do come in, actually. I've seen people come in with bat bites and stuff like that and have to get those horrific rabies shots. Ugh.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's horrible. Wow. Yeah, it makes sense, though. I mean, this veterinarian's been in practice for 30-something years. He's a holistic veterinarian, and he says, you know, he likes to do what he can, but he doesn't like to go overkill, just like vaccines. It's overkill, you know. Rabies is in the body, the vaccines in their body in the whole lifetime. It doesn't need to be injected. He feels that it's because of the pharmaceutical companies and a way to make money. It's not good for the animal if you do too much. He says you just need just enough that they have that in their bodies to fight off if there is any, you know, to get bit from another animal. But it's not that they need it every 3 years. He says it's overkill. Do absolutely what's necessary, and, you know, it's not about the money. It's about what's good for the pet and what's, you know, what's right. So it makes sense to me, though.
With everything bad that is bombarding our bodies, anytime you get a vaccination, you're activating your immune system. You might not be symptomatic, but your immune system is fighting whatever they're putting in you, whether it be a weakened virus, a live virus, a dead virus. And that's why some people get sick after the flu shot, because their immune system's down because their body's trying to, you know, acclimate to develop immunity against whatever the flu, and your defenses are down.
Yes.
You start plugging yourself with too much stuff, man, you're going to overload the system.
Yeah, that's what happens. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's overloading. That's what happens. But, we got to try and be as healthy as possible, you know, and when they talk about the norovirus, it's just a stomach virus, you know. That's what I'm seeming to draw the conclusion.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any of that, but definitely the flu. Influenza B. That's the one that is really kicking up. Don't ask me the difference between A and B. I think B, I mean, they're both bad, but B tends to be a little less damaging. And the worst strains are the A strains. There's some really, really bad ones.
What's the difference, if you don't mind me asking? What's the difference between the A strain and the B strains?
Well, the A encompasses a bunch of, I'm not an expert, I'm kind of pulling this out of my ass, but A strain, I think, has the avian flus, bird flus, a lot lot of the really bad ones. B is just different strains of flu. But like I said, the real bad one, there's one really bad one, H1N3 maybe, that is, you know, it's 50%, has like something like a 50% mortality rate. Like if you get it, you're on the road to being screwed.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
but, I mean, all we can do is do the best we can. Because something's going to get us eventually.
Yeah, we're going to, the way I look at it, we're going to all die, huh? Sooner or later.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess that's the things you're guaranteeing in life are death and taxes.
Yeah, you got to just try and get out of it as gracefully as possible. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I want to go out in style. Like, I want to go out in a way that is so exotic that I will be remembered for an eternity.
Have you thought about, like, what you would do?
Such a random freak accident that would leave people scratching their heads. What that is, I don't know. Maybe, like, having a pickle truck fall on me or just some crazy... The fate is... So I've read a lot of stories about what happens to people out there, and I watch a lot of videos. And, you know, I've seen these people get killed in just such random ways that it makes you wonder, like, if some people just have, like, a death target put on them, you know? Like, somebody just ran, like, randomly walking on the sidewalk, and a pane of glass 17 stories up just happens to fall out. Or a truck's driving down the road and a tire falls off and it mows somebody down walking on the... I mean, just crazy.
That's crazy.
It's like that movie Final Destination where, you know, death is seeking you and it's coming after you and it'll get you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you what I don't want is I don't want to die slowly in a hospital room bed. I've seen it. It's not pretty. It's, haunting.
The worst is the hospital, you said?
Yeah, I mean, just really sick people on their way out and just dying very slowly. Probably painfully. Sometimes you see people that their mouths are just gaped open, you know, and they're just staring at the ceiling. Like that to me has got to be the worst way to go. Preferably,
wow.
I would like to go out quickly in the most fabulous way possible.
That's probably why they put them on a lot of meds, huh? You know, they put them on a lot of meds so that it's not going to be as painful. It's going to be as painless as possible.
Yeah, they do what's called comfort care, which is basically like, well, you're dying, you know. You make the person as comfortable as possible.
Yeah, and if that means, you know, drugging them up so that they're not in pain, they got to do what they got to do.
Yeah. The worst thing you see to me, one of the worst things that you see is people that are, like, really bad drug users and they're young, or people that are in their 30s that are completely full of fluid and blown up because they've destroyed their liver from drinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's too bad. Wow.
So, yeah, that's why I don't drink anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's not that, too, but maybe the overuse of medications, too. Not just, you know, I mean, I'm talking about people that are in pain, so they're prescribed to so many different drugs that they become addicted to. It's an endless cycle.
Yeah. I wish I had some pain pills. My back is a mess. But but
really, oh my gosh.
And then, you know, everybody's got some level of anxiety, depression. So you go to your doctor, nine times out of ten, they're going to want to put you on an, you know, antidepressant medicine, SSRI. You know, that stuff alters brain chemistry. And it's not something you can quit cold turkey without going psycho. So, I mean, it is useful for a lot of people, and it's a lifesaver for a lot of people, but it's totally overprescribed, completely. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, my goodness.
Big conspiracy. It's big pharma. It's all about money, like everything else in this world. Somebody's making money. It's all about riches.
Well, if you can resort to herbs and things like that, you know, alternative things, that might be helpful.
It definitely It definitely has its place. Don't get me wrong. Modern medicine is fantastic, albeit incredibly prohibitively expensive in the United States. But, I mean, if there's a natural way to do that, you know, just look, watch those drugs commercials on television. It may cause death, stroke, heart attack, you know. It's like a long list of bad reactions. How is that good for you?
Yeah, but, you know, they legally can prescribe that to you. With the risk, the inherent risk.
It's overprescribed. I mean, yeah, it's going to help some people. But the amount of drugs coming out for just trivial things that aren't a big deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And off the top of my head, I can't think of one, but I remember seeing it and like, what? You're coming out with a drug for, like, my toe hurts and it might kill me just because my toe hurts? I'm making that up as an example, but, you know. Oh, my hair's falling out. I better take this drug that increases my chance of heart attack and stroke.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. it's too much. It's too much. But we do need allopathic medicine. I highly agree. We need that balance. I like to have that balance. We do need them at certain times. But, you know, there is a place and a time for when we use them. We could benefit from them. So what's your thought, Jason, about assisted suicide? What's your thought about that, speaking of in the health industry?
I certainly think I would be for assisted suicide because some people are really, really suffering. But I would want there to be, and I'm sure there is, a really in-depth vetting process to make sure somebody's just not suicidal. I did watch a documentary on people going, I want to say it was like Holland, it might not be. You know, the guy was dying of ALS and terrible diseases like that. I would be for it. I mean, why drag it out? If somebody has no chance of recovering, why should they suffer for months or years with terminal cancer or ALS and stuff like that? You know.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why do you want to do that? Why torture yourself, you know? Or at least have that option.
Yeah, totally.
I'm personally, this is just me. I can only speak for myself, but I'm for assisted suicide. I really am. You know, I really feel that if a person is in, you know, as an example, knock on wood and pray to God, we never get it, but if you end up having cancer, and instead of a long, slow death, whichever route you choose, you know, if you're able to make that decision and say, I don't want to put my family through that, I don't want to go through that anymore, just, you know, help me, you know, that should be, to me, should be free will, you know? is not somebody else's judgment on your life to figure out for you whether you should take your life or you should end your life or you should die or not. It's not really their place. It's not their job to go and tell you what your life should be and what shouldn't be and how long and everything else. That's just my opinion.
Now, is that your? Are you talking about somebody terminally ill or just in general? Is if I mean,
in general,
I'm kind of the,
just in general.
Yeah, that,
using
that's
somebody terminally ill. Go ahead.
I mean, if you're not happy with life, or you're terminally ill, or if you're not terminally ill, you know, obviously, that should be the last resort. You should do everything you can do to make your life what you want to make it. But some people just are in hopeless situations, or believe in their mind that they're in hopeless situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can, you know, you can suggest counseling or, you know, whatever. You can have a clergy come in to help them, you know, whatever you can, you know, but, you know, it's just very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Especially in today's world, you know, with everybody on pills of some sort and the crazy level of negativity and all this dumbass drama and negativity on the news, wars and hate and greed and money and ego, and we're constantly bombarded with that. We're constantly bombarded with electronic radiation and all that. It's hard to remain positive when we're constantly being inundated with negative information. I mean, look at this political drama, you know, the stupid impeachment and all that. You know, I was thinking when this whole impeachment thing was going on, to get kind of conspiracy-like, I was wondering, okay, what is this covering up? What are they trying to hide by distracting the American people with this nonsense impeachment stuff? Because there was something else that happened a while back. Yeah, there was something else that happened a while back. I don't remember what it was, but it was all over the news, and we're constantly being bombarded with it. But what was happening in the background was Congress or Senate, whoever does this, they were re-signing the Patriot Act, you know, where we basically have no freedom. We didn't get any news about that. Nobody said, hey, we're re-signing the Patriot Act. You know, we were so consumed with whatever was happening on the news. So, yeah, what's happening that isn't about the impeachment? Why are they trying to distract us with all this garbage? It's all garbage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't follow, you know, it's so depressing. I don't follow about the politics. To me, it's so, so depressing. My husband does, and Jason, he feels exactly, he's even said that exactly verbatim of what you just said. He feels it's a distraction of what's really going on behind closed doors.
And the other thing that I don't understand, well, I do understand it, is all this hate on Trump. As far as I'm concerned, all these people are corrupt. I don't care what politician you are. You've been corrupted by money and ego. And maybe there are some that aren't that way. But you have all this hate focused on this man, Donald Trump. And it's really uncalled for. You know what? I'm sure he's not a saint. Nobody really is, at least that I know of. But even if he is, all these things that these people are saying, why are people propagating the hate, creating lies, half-truths? To me, it's just a waste of energy and time. Just, I think people should just live their lives and not get caught up in the drama and those people out there saying, oh, well, he's destroying this, he's a racist, blah, 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 blah. You know? It's a waste of energy.
Yeah, it is.
It's not going to change. The hate you have.
People get caught up in it. You know, it's interesting how people get really, they watch CNN News or whatever those news store sources are. Like I said, I don't have TV, so, and I don't pay attention to those things anyway, but, you know, they'll get really wrapped up. And, oh, did you hear about this? Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I just kind of, you know, just let it go, but it's kind of like, wow, you know, that's just too much. We have enough negative energy in our own lives that we try to deal with and listen to all that other stuff.
It's just a bunch of propaganda. The government is very good. There are think tanks out there. There are retail corporations and other corporations that figure out a way to get inside your head. And you know who, how this was all mastered was Nazi Germany and Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister. This is all science, how they get in your head. It's when you go shopping in the grocery store, the way things are laid out, everything has been prearranged to get you to purchase things, or to get you to think a certain way, or to get you to have certain opinions. It is ridiculous. The amount of information that corporations and the government have on you is ridiculous. It's hard to break away from it.
Wow.
Because it's gonna get you at some angle. Even if you try and completely unplug, unless you want to go live out in the middle of the desert with no electronics, they're in your head. And there's people that say, oh, they're not in my head. They're in your head. They're in all of our heads. It's the way it is.
When you come online, are you being followed and with the different advertisers that come online and everything?
Oh, yeah. I've had talked about random things and had ads for it. Or I'd search on Google and then you have ads for it. Everything is being tracked. It's not necessarily the government is like trying to find out what you buy at Fred Meyer, but it's all the biggest problem isn't the government, it's corporations wanting you to spend money. You know, that's the real problem. Don't even get me started on government surveillance. I could talk for hours.
I know. Oh my goodness. It's, yeah. And what do you think you can do to fight it? Is there a way you think we can, you know, what can we do in our part to fight it? Or, you know, what can we do to, you know, not get caught in it, I should say?
Well, knowing that there's a problem is the first step. Realizing that's
okay.
What's going on when you're shopping in a store or online. Don't put a personal information online. Don't use your real information on social media. I mean, if you really want to go out there, go get prepaid debit cards. Don't do any, you know, don't use stuff with your name attached to it. Clean out your computer every time you use it. To delete tracking cookies, install add-ons on your computer that won't allow them to install cookies when you go to websites. But, I mean, even if you do all these things, you're mitigating it. Or if you really want to make sure that you're reasonably safe, download Tor browser, which routes your internet connection through a bunch of different servers that makes you very difficult to track. Stuff like that. But, I mean, you really can't go completely invisible, you know, without living in Antarctica in a hut.
Right, exactly. And denounce yourself as a not even a citizen anymore or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I try and not put a lot of information online. But, I mean, that can be difficult because sometimes it is nice to have your information online, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For example, using social media and you want to connect with people, you know, old
right.
friends from the past might be able to find you. It's not all completely bad. And in terms of shopping online and stuff like that, I'm sure there are people out there that love to have relevant ads just displayed. Like, oh, I want to buy this Cuisinart. I was just thinking about it, and there's one on sale here. But just know there's massive data centers out there that are tracking your online behavior. They could pretty much tell anything about you, what your behaviors are, just by your online activity. And hey, if you're cool with that, cool. But, you know.
Wow.
If you're not,
yeah,
then you better just.
What really disappoints me, and this is, it's, you know, I don't know, how would you classify this, but, you know, it's really sad when you call these companies. Like, I didn't have service for 12 days, internet service. I had a landline service, but I didn't have internet service for literally 12 days. And my carrier is Frontier. And when you call them, guess where they route you to? India. So when you're talking to these people, by no means. I have a couple Indian friends, Eastern Indian, not Native American, but Eastern Indian friends. By no means, I love them. But when you're calling and doing business with these people overseas, and they're supposed to be representing a company called Frontier that is representing Oregon, Washington, and California, and they can't speak English or they're reading out of a script, it is very, very frustrating. I'm going to tell you that. It's awful. Awful.
Yeah.
And then they dispatch you to their dispatcher in the United States. So here we had a trouble ticket. They dispatched us from India, and there we can't even talk to the dispatcher. They're from India talking to a dispatcher in the United States, and then from the United States, the dispatcher is talking to the tech in Oregon. Isn't that crazy? 12 days without internet service. They gave us credit for $12. That's it. No, I mean, I lost work. I had to I had to postpone my readings and my medical Qigong clients. And, you know, they don't care. They just said, well, I'm sorry, but what best we can do is give you credit back for the services that however many days. And I said, oh, yeah, $1 a day. And they said, yeah, it's $12. That's it for 12 days. No internet service whatsoever. And on top of it, when the check came out, it came out almost 2 days late from when they were originally supposed to come out. So we waited all day because they had to have somebody 18 or over to be there in order to get in order to make sure that it wasn't inside the lines. They found out it was their modem, not ours, but their modem. Crazy.
Yeah, I love it. I love it how they say, yes, you need to be home from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., sitting there waiting
for
them.
Yeah, well, they said 8 to 12, but still we waited. I called back. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, they got behind. And what gets me is I don't mind dealing with them, but the manipulation and the lies and not the common courtesy, if they're not coming out, they could have called as soon as possible and said, hey, we're behind or we're shorthanded, and call you right away instead of waiting all day and then find out they're not even coming out at all. And you have to get a hold of them to find out that information when you're being called and routed to India.
Yeah, it's all about saving money, you know, outsourcing to these call centers in India or wherever, you know, they're saving a ton of money.
It was India.
And then you got to worry about all the Indian scammers, too.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible. And then, you know, when you talk to them, there's another set of problems. Not only do they can't speak English very well, their accent sometimes is very thick, or they don't speak where you can understand them. They're talking from a script. So when you're talking, you're not talking to a human being. You're talking to somebody who's already pre-programmed like a robot on what to say.
Yeah.
So that's the frustration.
That's the future, people, listeners. This is the future. You're going to never be able to talk to somebody that's relevant to your issue. It's going to be some drone in another country.
Wow. Well, I'll tell the listeners, my experience, and I'm number one, is be aware of what you have. Stand up for yourself. And don't take no for an answer if you can. But also, too, document. You have to document, and that's what I end up learning too, is I documented everything. The phone calls to the customer services ID, blah, 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 their name, their ID number, blah, 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 just so that you have it, you have a record. But, you know, that was another thing. One representative from Frontier, they're like Infinity and they're like Comcast. But one representative will say one thing and another representative will say another thing. Oh, my gosh, it's just, oh. So that's what I say is just stick up for yourself, use documentation, and make sure you're getting treated right. And I flat told them, would you recommend Frontier to your friends and relatives? And I said, no, I would not. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd rate you a minus 10. And that's what I said. And the supervisor called me.
Oh, so. Big companies.
They got too big, way too big.
And all the money they're making. I mean, I don't know what their bottom line is and all that. But somebody's getting rich.
Yeah.
Somebody's always getting rich.
Oh, my God. And this guy, the poor guy that came out, the guy was Latino. Nice guy. I mean, just you could see his demeanor. Knew what he wanted. Very, very hospitable. You know, just really, I had no complaints. As a matter of fact, I'd give him a 10 star. No kidding. His eye, he came out and said, he got blind. He goes, Frontier really sucks. He said, Frontier really sucks. He says, as a matter of fact, I got blinded on the job. And I looked at him and thought, wow, you did. You know, because he's got one brown eye, but and then the other eye looks like whitish blue. And I thought,
nope.
You know, I didn't think anything about he was being blind. But you know how there's I have a couple of friends. I have one eye one color and one eye another color. I thought that was it. No, he had a spark. He was on the job. He had a spark. It landed right in his eye. And he went blind. He filed for workman's comp, and they were fighting. Literally, they didn't want to pay for it. It was an on-the-job. He is blind. He is literally blind for life, and he's got three kids to support, three small children.
I've experienced that before, getting hurt on the job, and then suddenly you're no longer wanted. Then they go out of their way to get rid of you. People are scammed. Corporations, large companies.
They didn't want to pay his medical bills. And he has to go in the doctor. He has to go to a specialized doctor once a month to make sure that the retina doesn't detach and all kinds of stuff. Because the eye is still intact, but when you look at it, it's all white, you know, and all cloudy, you could tell. And so he has to be, you know, seen once a month by the specialist to make sure that he's not going to have any pressure buildup and no retina detachment or anything else, or he would have to have an artificial eye put in.
Huh.
And no complications. So, anyway, that's what's going on with our world. But, you know, you got to be aware of it, stick up for yourself, and, you know, try and stay invisible as possible. It's just, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you get around this. You know, our government's gotten too big. It's no longer helping everybody.
Yeah, things have just gotten out of control. But what can you do? And it's always the little people that end up getting screwed. Yeah, the people at the bottom of the... But with that, oh my God. An hour has gone by. I got myself so riled up over all this that time has just flown by.
Sorry about me. Hey, sorry about the rant. I had to share that because it's like, you know, I'm just sharing this from other people's, from my experience and hope that they don't go through that and what to do about it, you know. Just don't take it personally, you know, and just stick up for yourself. Document, use documentation, and speak to a supervisor. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do. Well, with that, unless you have anything else, Sherry, I think I'm going to get me some dinner because I'm starving.
I know. I'm going to go hit dinner too. So, yeah, I kind of it's been a late dinner tonight. But, no, it's good to be back on air. And, yeah, we'll be talking, Jason. And next week I'm not sure who we have. I will probably try and get a guest. I don't know. It's been such a blur. But, yeah, we got next weekend coming in. And Merry Christmas.
Merry. Christmas. Oh, I wish I had some
Are you guys going to do anything this Christmas? You're just going to hang out?
Oh, I'm just going to hang out and be lazy. And I don't have any Christmas sounds. No, I'm just going to... I'm going to probably go shopping and wrap myself some presents.
That's a good way to have it. Wrap yourself some presents. Better to get something you want than, you know, no telling, huh?
Well, I'm sure the girlfriend will get me something. I just gave her cash.
I know. Well, anyway, Merry Christmas, Jason, and we'll be back on air. Hey, listen to us on iHeartRadio and all these other different podcasts, yada, yada, yada. But more importantly, have a happy, happy holiday season. Merry Christmas, and next Sunday we'll be live on air. And like I said, if you have anything to talk about, just shoot us a quick message on Facebook, and we'll get back to you.
Absolutely. And with that, we hope everybody has a safe and fantastic Christmas. And we'll see
Yay.
Everybody next
Take care.
Sunday.
Get back. If you want to get a hold of me, get a hold of me on Psychic Medium Sherry on Facebook or www.psychicmediumsherry@cherry.wewe.com. And until next week, hey, peace, everybody.
Have a great week, everyone. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.